One spring morning, not unlike this spring morning, a little boy raced with his toy ship to the shore of a pond in the park. The toy had been a Christmas gift, and he had waited all winter for the weather to warm and for the pond to thaw. All winter, his imagination had worked up fantastic voyages that this ship would take. He was excited to finally set the ship to sail. In his excitement, though, he got ahead of his little legs and tripped, sending his toy ship into the water and beyond his reach. He cried out to another older boy playing nearby to come and help him. Saying nothing, the older boy picked up a handful of stones and began hurling them at the boat. The little boy couldn't believe that instead of helping, the older boy was trying to sink his little ship. The older boy seemed to keep missing, though. Instead of hitting the ship, he seemed to keep overthrowing. Each stone went a little beyond the ship and made a little wave. And each little wave brought the ship closer and closer to the shore. On the banks of another shore, Simon Peter and his friends set off to go fishing. Peter and the others have seen the risen Lord. They've been given work to do. They're to be filled with God's breath and sent into the world, and yet here they are fishing. Not for people like Jesus said they would. No, they're at their old trade, sticking to what they know, staying in their lane. Now that Peter has seen the risen Lord, I think the weight of his denial must be gnawing at him. I don't think he can bear to face Jesus again. So he goes back home to Galilee, a broken man. I think Peter felt inadequate. I think he felt guilty. I think he felt weak. He didn't have a lot of patience with those around him, nor I think with himself. So he takes his friends to Galilee to fish. It was very easy for all of them, just as it is for us, to just drift back to life as it used to be. Peter's ministry hasn't even begun, and he's already decided that he was going to abandon his call and just go back to fishing. He'd given up. He couldn't forget the fact that he had failed, that he had denied the Lord not once but three times. He's a broken man. It's easy to empathize with Peter because he is so much like us. He has all the failures that we are so familiar with in our own lives. He overestimates himself and underestimates his temptation. He thinks he's more committed than he is. He thinks he loves the Lord more than he does. He thinks he can face any trial triumphantly only to find out that he can't. By the time we get to this point in Peter's story, he's a broken man. So Jesus goes to where the pain is, as he often does. All throughout Jesus' ministry, he has to rebuke Peter. Time and time again, Peter fails to get what Jesus is about. And each rebuke is like that stone the older boy tossed into the pond. One more stone, making one more wave, bringing Peter inch by inch closer to the shore, closer to his Lord. But here on this shore, Jesus doesn't rebuke Peter. He looks into the eyes of his broken, washed up, ashamed disciple and decides a rebuke is no longer what Peter needs. He needs a reminder. Peter's right after the third time Jesus asks the question, "Do you love me?" "Lord," he answers, with pain in his voice. "You know everything." So why is Jesus, who knows everything, asking the question not once, but three times? I think he's asking the question for Peter. Peter needs a reminder. Peter is at the end of himself. He needs Jesus to whisper who he is and what he is called to do. You see, the Lord often brings us to the end of ourselves so that we might know the riches of His grace. And these are the kind of people that God uses. People who are at the end of themselves, who admit defeat, people who have nothing else to give and are on the lookout for some grace. People who are propelled by God's grace are the ones who leave an indelible mark in the world for the sake of the good news of God in Jesus Christ. Someone once asked St. Francis how he could accomplish so much. This may be why, he answered. The Lord looked down from heaven and said, "Where can I find the weakest, littlest, meanest man on earth?" And then He saw me and said, "I've found him. I will work through him. He won't be proud of it. He'll see that I'm only using him because of his insignificance." I think that if Simon Peter had been listening to St. Francis's answer, he would nod his head in agreement. Peter, who gets it wrong time and time again. Peter, who denies even knowing Jesus. Peter, who abandons his post. Peter, naked and at sea. The question is asked and answered three times over. The question that is at the heart of it all. Not what have you done, but do you love me? Peter's answer doesn't put him back in Jesus' good graces. He was never kicked out. It doesn't earn him a pat on the back. It doesn't get his spiritual account back in the black. Peter's answer gets him a command, a new commission. Now that Peter has experienced grace, it's time for him to be a shepherd. It's time for him to tend and feed and look after the flock of God. One commentator called this the secret of all Christian ministry, yours and mine. Lay and ordained, full-time or part-time, whether you sit in the back row during morning prayer, help the sexton stack chairs after an event in the great hall, knit chemo caps, adorn the altar with flowers, polish the silver in the sacristy, invite your new neighbor to church. Venture to Nicaragua, sit with a lonely kid in the cafeteria, listen with care to a hurting friend, volunteer at the shelter, offer the kindness of an eye contact to a panhandler at the intersection. If you are going to do any single, solitary thing as a follower of Jesus, this is what it's built upon. Grace. We don't do these things to earn forgiveness. Nothing can do that. It's grace from start to finish. It's grace all the way down. Peter himself was already forgiven before this encounter with Jesus on the shore of Galilee. We follow and serve Jesus because He has invited us to do so precisely as a sign that we are forgiven. Think about the prayer that we'll say together after communion this morning. Assist us with Thy grace that we may do all such good works as Thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Or as we say in Rite 2, send us out to do the work You have given us to do, to love and serve You as faithful witnesses. That's the essence of this interaction between Jesus and Peter. Do you love me? Lord, You know everything. You know that I love You. Feed my sheep. Peter would go on from strength to strength. He would always be there, continuing to make his mistakes, even getting publicly rebuked by Paul. But he had met grace in Jesus. And he continued to love Him and look out for His sheep. No one could ask for more. Jesus never asks for anything less. Sometimes we find ourselves like Peter and his friends out to sea. Things haven't gone the way we've planned. We've failed. Sometimes our life circumstances are hard. We feel alone. Sometimes we don't even have a plan. Sometimes, like Peter, our regrets can outweigh our hopes. Look for Jesus on the shore. Jump out of the boat and race to him. And when he asks, "Do you love me?" answer. Amen.